So if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 1. We walked through this for the call to worship. But I'm going to read through this, and we're going to jump in to this scripture. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let me pray. God, would you help us to consider, to think of your scriptures? May I not get in the way of your truth, but would you help me to communicate this morning? Father, may we walk out of here desiring to be thoughtful of our roots and where we drink, how we think, how we grow, how we walk, how we stand, and how we sit. Father, thank you that you are the gracious God who gives us good ways to follow. But you give us a good Savior who saves us and gives us the ability to follow. Help us to delight in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so picture your favorite tree. Okay, I just lost half the people in the room. Picture your favorite tree. You got it? If you don't, picture a tree. Okay, you got that. All right? All right, so you got it in your mind's eye. Look at the trunk. Look at the trunk. Look at the branches, the leaves, the fruit. Maybe it's pine cones, whatever it is, what it's bearing, look at that. Now, watch it sway in the wind a little bit. Listen to it withstand the storm. You've sat out on the front porch, or you've been on a walk when the storm is coming in, or you've been around some trees that you love. Just listen to it. Okay, guests in the room, we're going to get to script. This, I know this seems weird, okay? But maybe this tree's hosting a treehouse. Maybe it's got a tire swing. Maybe it's providing shade for a picnic table. You can see its strength. There was a time where I felt the strength of a tree. It's what is called the ice storm of 1987. I was with my friends. My aunt had just given me this plastic sled. I've shared a little bit of this with some of y'all. It was this plastic sled that just had these little plastic gears on it. Not gears, but little brakes. You know, you do this one, the sled, you know, and you would go. But it was icy, and so it didn't work so well in the sense of turning, but it worked extremely well for going down the hill in the snow and on ice, and we loved it. So my friends in the neighborhood back in Smyrna, Georgia, we were just dominating these hills, and then we started stacking on this sled. How many people can we get on this sled? And so we had Tony and Katrina and Carla, and I'm standing on the back of it, and it had this little seat, and I'm hanging on to the seat. And my job was to jump off and kick it if we're going to hit a tree. Because, again, the kick, 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 because these little kick, kick, kicks don't work. So I, you know, pat on the back. I did my job. We were heading for a tree, and I jump off and push it. They go past a tree. I'm holding my legs up ready to just absorb that tree, but I didn't see the stump that was in front of that tree. and I broke my tailbone. Trees are strong. Or Mark is real weak. Probably both. But I felt the strength of even just a stump of a tree that was once a healthy tree and now is a dying stump. But the trees in my neighborhood, so many of them were healthy. But what makes a tree, what makes a tree healthy? What makes it flourish? You may say rain. Yeah. But it's deeper than that. It's literally deeper than that. We notice the fruit, the leaves, the shade, and the strength of the trunk. But the life of the tree, it's largely hidden to us. Its health depends on location, where it's planted, what its roots reach for. Sometimes you see those roots popping up. You see them sometimes, but most of the time it's underground and you're not seeing all that those roots are doing. And it also depends on whether it has a dependable source of life, which is water, which comes from the rain. So you weren't wrong about rain. Psalm 1 tells us the same is true of our soul. The same is true of our soul. Many people focus first on the fruit. How can I this? How can I get this in my life? How can I experience this and have this thing, this fruit, this characteristic? But Psalm 1 begins with roots. The source in the place where the tree has been planted. This helps it through every season. A rooted life does not avoid every hard season. It receives a steady supply of life through every season. Before Psalm 1 shows us the fruit of a blessed life meaning a life that is resting and is secure in Christ. It's not just hashtag blessed because I got new tires on the truck. Now, that's a blessing. But spiritual blessing is this inward peace from the Lord that says, even when my world is upside down, you hold me. And when my world is right side up, it says, you hold me, Lord. But before Psalm 1 shows us the fruit of the blessed life, it asks us to examine the voices, the paths, and the communities that are shaping and dictating a little bit of where these roots are going. So you need to watch your roots. Watch your roots. Psalm 1, 1 to 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The psalm begins with a contrast between two ways of life, two sources of counsel, and ultimately two destinies. The movement, walk, stand, sit, it shows a growing pattern of influence that leads to belonging. And there's this walking. Okay. Maybe your roots are beginning to drink from this certain source that's of the world that is not desiring to glorify God. It's actually not even desiring to build you up. You start walking in those ways. Your roots are going in that direction. But then you begin to think, I kind of like this. So your roots hang out there and you begin to drink more. You start to stand there. Just like I had a root tree break through my old Orangeburg clay newspaper septic tank pipe out in my yard and started drinking from my septic tank. It's not good. Now, it's not one of our fruit trees, and I did some study, like, it would probably be okay anyway, so it doesn't help with the illustration here. However, sometimes we just stand in a spot and say, this is my identity. I want this toxicity, this septic thing in my life. We don't see it that way. But then we start to realize, hey, there's other people around. So I'm going to actually sit down and we're going to chit-chat about this way of life that is not pleasing or honoring to the Lord. So we walk, we stand, we sit. So walking, we begin listening to the counsel and moving in a direction. Stand, we become settled in a pattern and we start identifying with it. And then sit, we become comfortable, established, and even willing to mock what God calls good. These scoffers, they're not just scoffing at other people. They're saying, why are you following the creator of this world? Or they're even saying, why do you even believe that there's a creator of this world? You do you. Follow your heart. Do what you think is best. Join us. Have a seat. Drink for a while. Everyone is being discipled. Everyone is receiving counsel. No one lives without counsel. Our imagination is always being shaped by voices, habits, stories, and fears. If you didn't listen to the past couple of weeks of Doug sharing about suffering and then Kevin sharing a little bit about sad songs, even songs, sad, not sad, we love them because it's stories. We're being counseled. We're being shaped by the shows, by the songs, by the world, by the books, by the podcasts, by one another, and even just our own creative imaginations that are left sometimes to just run wild. But we're shaped often by our fears. Roots travel to places often thinking that this will protect me, this will help me. I'm so afraid. The question is not whether we are being formed, but who is forming us and toward what kind of life. Where are you taking me? We need to ask the council. Where does this end? What is the good in this? How does this check out with what I know to be true? What does Scripture say about this? So the question is not whether we're being formed. You're being formed. I'm not going to ask the oldest man in the room to raise his hand, but I respect him and I love him. But he will tell you. I think it's Chuck. Maybe not. Might be right here. I'm not going to name it. I said I wasn't going to name people. But the men are going to tell you, I'm still being formed. I'm still being formed. I'm still being shaped. I'm still thinking about life, the different phase of life that I'm in. And the thing I love about those men is that they know they're being shaped. They know they're being formed. They're coming here to Legacy. And it's like, would you help me? Encourage me. I had a man this morning just say, hey, are you preaching this morning? Because he saw the mic and he just gave me a really quick word of encouragement. We're being formed. I don't care who you are. You're being formed and shaped. Where are your roots going to be formed? The danger is not merely exposure. Often we'll read this and think, oh, it's exposure to being around a non-believing world. Well, our perfect and great example, Jesus Christ, was always around sinners. An unbelieving world. Actually, every human he came in contact with was not pure and perfect. And he was always with them. So that's not really the issue. That's not really the problem. Now, it might be part of the problem. You might need to, for a season, not hang out, not be walking in this way, standing in this way, sitting in this way with a particular crowd. But it's not exactly just saying, hey, don't hang out with people that aren't Christians. That's not what this text is saying. Jesus, he ate with sinners. The danger is allowing a God-denying vision of life, accepting a God-denying vision of life to become our settled way of life. This way of life that says, this way of life does not check out with Scriptures. The way that I'm treating my wife, it does not check out with Scriptures. But I'm becoming settled in this way because, man, I got so many other things to worry about and to do. We can get to that another time. We can work on our marriage another day. I can work on being a dad another day. It doesn't check out sometimes why we check out. So the danger is allowing a God-denying vision of life to become our settled way of life. But here's the thing. If it is this sitting, standing, and walking in the way of sinners, this settled way of what we think is life is actually the settled way that leads to perishing. It leads to death. That's what Psalm 1 tells us. So we need a better vision. We need a better water hole. We need a better voice. We need a better community because we're surrounded by visions, voices, communities. Verse 2 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, the man, and in this text it means the person. Now other texts will say it does mean that, but it also means man because the man of Psalm 1 is Christ. The blessed man that doesn't walk and stand and sit in the way of being so influenced, but bears fruit for all seasons and in any season. It is prosperous. It's Christ. Psalm 2 goes and talks about the king that will accomplish this. Jesus is the king of Psalm 2 that accomplishes Psalm 1. But this is also a proverb-like psalm to us, that we would be men and women who delight in the law of the Lord. So the law of the Lord, it shouldn't be just reduced to this list of rules. The law, the Torah, this was God's gracious way of telling his covenant people, this is how you have life. Don't kill each other. It just doesn't go well for you. Don't take that dude's wife. That's not good. Don't use my name in vain. Don't just say, hey, this is what I think I need to do in life. And you're not talking to God and saying, you know, well, I think God wants me to do this. If that this hasn't been gone through the Scriptures and you're not praying and talking to God and you're not receiving counsel, but you're just like, I think God really wants me to do this. That's using the Lord's name in vain. It's not just saying his name when you're mad. The Torah, his law, is for his glory. It is for your good. But yes, we cannot keep it. We break it. But Jesus followed the law perfectly. God reshapes desire, not only behavior. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's not his delight is that the fact that he can check off the boxes of the things that he did and did not do at the end of the day. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is God's word. God's word is who God is, his character, who he is. His delight is not just about his disciplines and his root maintenance. His delight is in the source, God himself. God gives you ears to hear him in a loud world that does not love you. His word, his law, his ways are for you in a world that does not love you, that is telling you how to think, how to feel, how to everything. Here's some questions to ask yourself. Whose counsel do I instinctively trust when life becomes confusing? What voices are shaping my definition of the good life? Where have I moved from hearing an idea to practicing it to becoming comfortable with it? Friends, watch your roots. Because the counsel you receive becomes the path you walk, and the path you walk becomes the place you find belonging. Psalm 1 is not satisfied or content with telling us what to avoid. That would almost just be easy. And honestly, that's some of the way that y'all talk with each other all the time. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And you're probably not wrong about the don't do's. I know I can do that. That's why I'm saying some of y'all, because I'm there with you. But Psalm 1 is not satisfied or content with just telling us what to avoid. It shows us where true life is found. The blessed person has better counsel, better delight, and a better source. Let us drink deeply from Christ. Psalm 3 says this, the blessed man, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Here's the thing. God is the planter. God is the planter. Grace comes first. Praise God. Some translators even think this planted by streams of water is more about a transplant. In this culture, in this way of the ecosystem and the land, desert, this and that. But these trees, they need to be closer to streams of water. In some of these places, even these streams of water are canals that have been dug. Work has been done for you. You have been planted. If you are in Christ, you have been planted by streams of living water. Some translators say God has picked you up out of a spot that is not good for you and put you in a spot that is good for you. Grace comes first. We are not saved because we possess impressive spiritual drinking skills. This isn't some weird fraternity party where it's like, watch how much I can drink and look at me, because that's foolishness. Well, we can do the same thing spiritually. Watch how great my spiritual disciplines are. This isn't about impressive drinking skills. God himself makes us alive. God creates a thirst in us. He plants us near the source, and he continually supplies what we need. He is the one that is glorified, but he gives us that thirst. And that thirst tells our roots, go and find something that is satisfying. That's why we have to watch our roots and make sure we're finding that in Christ alone. So like I said, Christ is the righteousness of Psalm 1. He's the righteous one of Psalm 1. Psalm 1 first exposes us. You should read Psalm 1 and be exposed as the walker, the stander, if you would, and the one sitting and scoff. That's our story. Those of us that are in Christ, that's part of our testimonies. I was walking away from the Lord. I was not walking towards him. Praise God that Jesus came and he intervened and he gave me life. None of us have perfectly followed him. And a matter of fact, all of us have received ungodly counsel and listened to it. None of us have perfectly delighted in God. None of us perfectly bear fruit, but Christ has. We all walk, stand, and sit in opposition to our Creator. Jesus is the blessed man of Psalm 1. He never walked in wicked counsel. He never stood in the way of sinners or sat in the seat of scoffers. He delighted perfectly in the will of his Father, and he obeyed where we have failed. So Christ not only is this tree that is represented, but he is the stream of living water of Psalm 1. Christ is both the perfect righteousness and the perfect man of Psalm 1, but he is the life-giving source that gives us life. We are planted near Christ. We are planted in Christ. We are planted for Christ. We are planted by Christ. I want you to hear something, that he loves you. This isn't just mechanical. Christ loves you. The world does not love you. Christ loves you. So here's the gospel hinge. Our confidence is not in the strength of our roots, but in the sufficiency of our source. Our great preserver gives us life. Roots that continually receive life from Christ do not remain hidden forever. Those roots do not remain hidden. What do I mean by that? In God's time, deep roots become fruit, if you would. These roots drink, nourish the tree. There's an abundance of water, of growth, and all the things that are happening. Yes, there's photosynthesis happening. The leaves are opening up to the sunshine and receiving the light. That's a whole nother sermon. But then there is fruit. So we're called to bear fruit as we drink from Christ. We are called to bear lasting fruit. Psalm 1:3. The tree yields fruit in its season. Biblical fruitfulness is real, but is not always immediate. Fruitfulness is not always immediate. And that's the difficult thing as we walk in this world, as we stand and we sit, because we want to go to the places that are the fastest and seem to be the most helpful right now and today. We are an impatient people. I remember getting our first microwave ever. And we were like, man, this is great. My dad and I cooked everything that you could cook that night. Does it cook this? Yeah, it did. What does it do to this? What happens if you put this in it? Before that, but after that, definitely there was this, okay, it's got to be quick. It's got to be fast. Fruit is not always immediate. The promise is not a painless life or uninterrupted success. The promise is a life sustained by God. I want you to know that and hear that. This drinking from Christ is about being a tree, being a life that is blessed, knowing that God sustains me. He sustains me. He makes me fruitful according to his timing, according to his wisdom. Its leaf does not wither does not mean believers never grieve. It means suffering does not sever them from the source of life. Fruit is not just for you. And if we personified a tree, it would tell you the fruit's not for me at all. The apple tree doesn't have apples for itself. It's for others. A tree does not consume its own fruit. Its fruit feeds, shelters, nourishes, and carries seed beyond itself. I won't get into it this morning, but fruit is a seed protector to eventually take seed somewhere else. So then eventually that seed can be exposed and be planted and grow and provide more fruit somewhere else. A tree does not consume its own fruit. This is radical. The other way of life that we're talking about, the standing, the walking, the standing, and the sitting, that's a self-absorbed life that leads to death. The Godward life desires to serve others and bring life. So that's often just a good diagnostic question for yourself. Am I scripturally living this blessed man life? And the answer is going to be, am I serving others? That's going to be one of the answers to help you. And if it's, no, I'm not serving others, then your roots are probably saying, how can I be served? Where are the places of just self-absorbed living? But here's the beautiful thing about drinking from Christ and this fruit being produced to help others. Jesus says to us all through his scripture, I satisfy. I do. I satisfy. I heal. Drink. I give you inward fruit so you can have outward fruit that blesses others. Jesus says, I'll sustain you. I will hold you. I am with you. The fruit Christ produces in us is meant to bless families, individuals, churches, neighbors, co-workers, strangers, all the way to the nations, and even to bless your enemies. We are to bear fruit for the glory of God and the good of others. So my question this morning to you and to myself, do you feel spiritually dry? Do you feel rootless? Or do you feel like, no, I got a lot of roots. I don't feel rootless, but I feel like I need to sever some roots that are drinking from other sources, and I need to drink from Christ. Do you feel trapped in a path that is destroying you quickly? But usually the way of the evil one is a slow death. He's brilliant. Do you feel trapped? Drink from Christ. Christ does not merely offer advice. He offers himself. Imagine going to a counselor that gives you great advice and at the end says, let's go. Now let's go live the rest of life together. I'm here with you. I'll help you. That's what Christ does for us. He can rescue you. Psalm 1 begins with streams of water, but the Bible ends with a river. Worship team, you can come on up. Let's drink from this stream, but let's look to this river of Revelation 22, 1 through 5. Scripture says this, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. I sit here. I belong here at this table with this water. That's not here in the scriptures, but the name on their foreheads. And the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever. Scripture ends with the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Psalm 1 gives us a picture of the blessed life now. But Revelation 22 shows us that life is going to be brought to completion one day, face to face with Christ. One day, there will be no more temptation to walk in wicked counsel, to stand in sinful ways, or to sit among scoffers. Lord, come. But Lord, before you come, would you help us to drink deep from you for our good and the good of others? No more spiritual drought. There will be no more divided desires. There will be no more shame. There will be no more confusion. There will be no more death. We will delight freely and completely in Christ forever. And we will be able to say, we are the blessed man, the blessed woman. We are the blessed people. But Lord, would you let us see that now? We're going to enter into a time of communion. If you would, stand with me. So during this time, you can do this individually. If you're a guest here, we just take a few minutes to do communion individually with families. We have small groups. Some small groups get together. If you are a believer, this is a time to be reminded of what Christ has done for us. But if you're not a believer, I want you to contemplate. This isn't a time for you for communion, but it's a time for you to consider. Do you know the source? Do you know Christ? Would you drink from him? Would you go to him? Would you say, Lord, would you plant me near streams of this living water? Would you give me life? So as we take this little wafer that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us, in this juice that represents the blood of Christ that was poured out for you, because he loves you, he put the work in to save you. His root technology was perfect. His receiving of the light of God and drinking from the Father was perfect and good, and it was for you and for the good of others. But he was cut down willingly. He was broken for you, and he was raised up so that we could one day sit at that table with him in his presence to be our everything. And we will eat the bread with him. We will drink the juice, the wine with him one day. Let us remember our gracious and good King. Friends, watch your roots. Drink deep from Christ. Let me pray for us. We'll have a time of communion. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are, Jesus, you are the man of Psalm 1. You are the king of Psalm 2. You are the tree. You are the water. Thank you that you saved me. You gave me life when I did not deserve it. You rescued me from myself. You guided my roots to yourself, to community, to friends that love you. And even as I was talking to someone this week, even as a believer, I run to things that I should not run to. Some of my most embarrassing moments were as a believer, being found out in sin in college, and how embarrassing that was. But your water nourished me. The ability to repent is all of grace, and it is refreshing. Thank you that you help us to repent. May we come to your table and repent from the ways that we are walking, how we are identifying and standing that is not glorifying to you, in the way that we are sitting that is not good. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that you look upon us with love, compassion, and mercy. And you say, my son, my daughter, I preserve you forever. Let us drink, let us repent, let us live in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.